said in the beginning of verse 1, he said, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. You can't have faith in the words of a man, or in logic, or in philosophy. God, people today try to get their faith in everything. Dale Carnegie courses and everything else. That's natural wisdom. And it produces a reasonable amount of natural faith. Where you can get where you can sell an Eskimo and ice box, as they say. But that's not what we're talking about. That's not the exceeding faith that grows our faith in the Word of God or in Jesus Christ. Now, you can make money your God. You can make success your God or pleasure your God. There's a lot of gods in America beside the God of the Bible. There's a lot of Bibles in the United States. Got about 67 different versions of the Bible. And they all vary from one philosophy to another. They got all kind of philosophical interests that's been introduced into the Bible. That's the real Bible, from the King James Bible to all those other perverted Bibles. They all originate from the same manuscript the King James came from. But they all want to inject their philosophical viewpoints, or they want to put logic in there, or human reasoning. But that will not make your faith in God. It will not make it valid. God will not accept it when the trial or the trouble comes. So why even attempt to use something that's vain philosophy and is going to cause you to stumble and fall? We've got to pursue the course that these apostles have described for us to take and has exhorted us to take. And even in the early church, they commanded them to take this particular course of action that would result in exceeding faith in God. Follow me. Listen to me. I'm praying for you. Praise God and all of that together. In Acts 14:22, Paul said he confirmed the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. To continue in the faith. Some people, you got to stay on them all the time to get them to continue in faith. Here he exhorted them. And he says, hey, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. In the 13th chapter of Acts, verse 43, it says, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. It's amazing how you've got to almost gouge people and stampede them and flip them to get them to continue in the faith and in the grace of God. What in the world is grace? How do you get to grace? When you're saved, the Bible said we're saved by grace through faith. You can't separate grace from faith. If you're going to have grace, you must have faith. And if you're going to have faith, you certainly are going to get to grace. And grace is what we're all after. Compassion, grace, mercy. And it's faith that brings us into a relationship with God, that God does have compassion and grants us grace and mercy and help whenever there's a need arise in our life. Now there's that little, there's a lot of things, a lot of scriptures here, but a few minutes before I close, there's another point here that must be injected, and that's in our faith. There must be some patience. You can't be roaring at God and demanding instant response. That response may not be so instant. He might try you out and see if that faith is really faith or his old feeling. See, feeling is not going to result in deliverance. You got to quit going on your feelings, your sight, and your hearing. That's walking in the flesh. That's not walking in the Spirit when you're resorting to feeling or what you hear or what you see. The only hearing that you can resort to is hearing the Word of God. That's when seeing by faith, I see Jesus. Praise the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, I see Jesus. I see victory. Oh, Brother Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ, said in Jude 20, he said, you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, He said, pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're building yourself up exceedingly into a faith that's almost undeniable. Boy, when you can get where you pray in the Spirit. Most of the time it's praying in tongues. I know I pray in the Spirit sometime in English. It's just as edifying. And as I told you, when I get to praying like that, I get a lot of answers. And God gives me, he's given me a sign when my prayers are being answered. He gives me a sign. I don't get them in my head. I get it in my heart. I get that sign, and then I can come out crying and shouting glory because the Lord says, hey, it's coming. That old song you sing in church, glory's coming. It won't be long. I'll be singing a brand new song. I'll be faithful and brave and strong. Glory's coming. It won't be long. Hallelujah. Man, when you know it's on the way, that makes you walk high. Man, you step high knowing that God has got the answer. But see, James put it a little more succinctly here or in terminology that we can understand better. In James 1, verse 2, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, the trying of our faith is what makes it grow. In other words, God puts us in the corner and makes us come out slugging. Or we get nonchalant and passive and just sit there, and old fatalism comes along and says, well, when God gets ready, he's going to deliver me, I think. Sit there like a dunce. I wouldn't think no such a thing if I felt that way about it. Man, you got to have that cold, bold confidence. When he's tried me, I'm coming out of this corner, devil. And directly that old faith, worse than Popeye taking his can of spinach. You feel that high barcalorum, that adrenaline of flowing, you're coming up. Said, I'm a coming out of the corner. If you do, you're going to come out fighting. 1 Timothy 6 and 12 said, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 10 said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For you ain't fighting against flesh and blood, but you're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise God. You got to be strong and you got to have patience. You got to sit there sometime like a prisoner on death row for certain days. Sometimes your hope flickers and you think the only thing you got to wait for is your last supper. Well, I'm going to eat my last few cookies and drink my last bowl of soup here in a minute, Lord. Man can't get too much soup, I've been told. Praise God. But if I was dying and had one word to say, I'd speak it for my Jesus and breathe my life away. Oh, he'll be there, and I'll be there with him. Praise God. Wish I could sing good. I ain't sing about as good as Brother Roloff in them tapes. He's dead, but he still sings, you know, on them. I can sing good as he can. I guess I ought to be the second Brother Roloff. Go ahead and sing. Praise God. Get you to sing like those sometimes disobedient children he's got out there. Anyway, Brother James, or Brother Jesus, said, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then patience, if you'll leave her alone, her. Isn't that a nice name for patience? Her. Patience, let her have her perfect work, and you'll get to be entire. That means complete. And you'll want for nothing. You'll have everything you want. Praise God. God will give you what you want if through faith you possess it. But it's going to take patience and waiting on him. And that patience will make things calm. That faith will make things calm around you while you're waiting for that patience to have her perfect work. It won't make you panic. You won't be afraid of evil tidings. The doctor shakes his head and said, I'm sorry, you got something that I can't help you, or you're inoperable. I'm not even going to let the devil tell me nothing like that through the doctor. I'm going to let Jesus tell me. You know, there's 9 little gifts of the Spirit, ladies and gentlemen, and they operate by faith too. Oh, this subject got so big here, I done run out of time, and it just gets bigger, and I'm not going to finish it. Not logically or conclusively. But there's 9 gifts of the Spirit and 9 fruit of the Spirit. One of them's faith in the fruit. Then over the gifts of the Spirit, there's several power gifts, like healing, the gifts, plural of healing. There's also in there not only faith and miracles, but there's some other little gifts in there, and they call them discernment, discerning of spirits. They call them the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, prophecy, tongues, interpretation. All of them can speak something to you and tell you something you ought to know. And how in the world are we going to sit around and claim to have faith and won't even let one of the gifts of the Spirit that's for the healing and well-being of the church of Jesus Christ not operate? And somebody, for God have mercy's sake, tell us what to do to stay healthy or to regain our health.